favorite people in the Bible ever. And some people might know who that is. John the Baptist is one of my all-time favorites. I just adore who he is. And I know that I've asked this before, but I'm going to ask kiddos again. Have you ever had a teacher or a parent or a friend who saw something amazing in you that you did not see in yourself? Yeah? Who was that? Me? Anyone else? Any adults who saw something in someone or saw something in you that you didn't see in yourself? Yes.
So 2 weeks ago.
Hang on, Rev's coming.
A month ago.
Well, we do it just so people can hear on the recording, because otherwise they can't hear you.
So about like a month ago, I had this really crazy dream about hanging out with some homeless people and seeing Jesus, and I was like, what did I eat before I went to sleep? So I wake up around 3 o'clock and I get this text from someone here, and they said that they were thinking about me and praying for me, and that I needed to know that I have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit with me, and that I have a great many of people that love me, and that the heavenly host is cheering me on. And so, it's been kind of crazy because for the last 4 months, consistently, I've had just random people just tell me that God has been putting me on their heart, because there's a great spiritual battle for my soul. And then, you know, I was just kind of like joking, you know, I'm always joking, I'm just like, oh. There's always a great spiritual battle for everybody, so. And they're like, no, this is different. This is different because some people are just meant to be in the grandstands to cheer you on. And then there's some people that are in the center that are gladiators and they're in the fight. And they go, you're one of those people that are supposed to be in the fight, like an intense fight. Not just, you know, you're just not going to be an average Christian. But God's got a strong purpose for you, and that's why there's an intense battle for your soul. And so I just started doing more research on soul, and it met my heart. Because I'm already going to heaven, but there's a battle for my heart.
Yeah.
And lately, I've just been feeling the intenseness myself personally. Now, you know, other people were telling me, and then now I'm feeling it. And I know that my time is short as far as my running away like Jonah, because I'm like being spiritual like you. I love Jonah. He ran away from the purpose that God had for him. And so I could totally relate to it. But my picture, the cross and the dove, is just lately been representative of just identifying that I'm not alone, and that at some point I'm jump into the fight that I need to be.
Yay. Well, thank you for the person who texted. And how many of you realize that you are, I know you all do because that's why you're here, you're that person in someone's life that sees in them something that they cannot see for themselves. This week, you have an assignment with the Lord to agree with Him about somebody that you don't even know about yet, because they're going to not be their true selves, and you're going to get the chance to ask God who they really are, and you're going to have a chance to agree with that either quietly or with your mouth about who they really are. And we get to be that person. And I think that the person who was that for us was John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a guy who had a revelation from the Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He had an understanding. You know, like, have you ever, like, one of the cool things that's happening in our lives is Darby's playing volleyball, and many of you know that. This was unplanned, by the way, Doodlebug. And one of the cool things that's happening is that as she's continuing to play, people are starting to notice her. Partly because she's super tall, which is nice because you can't coach tall, but you can coach everything else, right? So, but I'm watching people start to take interest in her ability, and they can see something that I can't yet see. They see a potential that I haven't yet, I don't have the eyes for. I know, right? Isn't that so cool? Are you so embarrassed right now? I just love it. Yes! Yes! She says she's not embarrassed. And isn't it fun to run into people who see us that way, who see something in us that we haven't yet seen for ourselves? And that's what John the Baptist had. He had that ability to see something that hadn't yet really been fully seen. He had the Holy Spirit who revealed to him that Jesus Christ was one of us, and it was also sent to us to reveal to us our true selves, that we are also made to be intimate with God. And I just love who he is, because he saw something that very few other people saw. In fact, he saw it before, as far as we understand. We don't know whether he grew up with Christ or not. We hear that there's a relative relationship that Elizabeth, his mother, had with Mary, but we don't know whether or not they spent time together or not. And so here he is, passionate about proclaiming who this person is without really being in a lot of relationship with them. Isn't that kind of fun? And I'm trying to think of how to say this. He excites me for what he did in the earth. And he excites me for who we are now in the earth. Because he was someone who was a friend of God. He was a friend of Christ. He is the one who introduced us as the bride of Christ to our groom. He said, "Let me introduce you to your true relationship with Christ. Let me introduce you to who you really are and who he really is." And my biggest challenge on any of these weeks is how to do our kid thing together and then how to save like part of it for later. So I'll just be honest with you, like that's my greatest challenge. So we kind of have two layers happening. We have the story of John the Baptist, and then we have this other thing, which is scripture. And I have come to realize, I have had questions lately, I don't know if you have or not, and people are asking, you know, are you a Bible-based church? And I kind of almost laugh, because I'm like, based on what interpretation? Like, we have a gazillion denominations that exist over the whole planet, because people have different interpretations of the exact same passages, correct? So when people ask me if I'm Bible-based, I'm like, based on what exactly does that mean to you?
Well, that is the question.
Right?
Yeah. The question is always, are you a Bible-based church the way I perceive the Bible and how I interpret that? And the answer is probably not.
Probably some, probably not. In fact, I discovered that, you know, there's so much perspective on Scripture and the interpretation of Scripture that there is no such thing as an unbiased view, right? I mean, even people who claim to be reporters, not claim to be, they actually are reporters. People who are reporters who claim to be unbiased aren't really ever unbiased, correct? Because the fact that they saw with their eyes, heard with their ears, and have a perspective, inherently in that is bias. You can have two people in the room arguing with each other, and how many of them walk away with the same view? Neither of them. You have 100 people see the same accident, how many people describe it the same? Nobody. Because we have a unique perspective. So is our goal to divorce ourselves from that very perspective that we were made with? Or is it to embrace the uniqueness of our perspective that we were given? And discover that maybe amongst 100 people who might see something differently, their combined perspective might give us a greater picture than the individuals. Right? So sorry, my neck was just choking myself, just in case anyone was wondering what that was all about. I was feeling a little like garroted right there. And I know that because I watched The Bourne Identity. So it was pointless humor. you know a lot about this whole thing about perspective and how people perceive things, because that's like kind of like your field in psychology, right?
Yeah, I've been trying to think of something to say, and I don't know what I have to say about that. Right now. I'll chime in when I can.
Except for that you spend all day, every day, testing things based not on what people think people will perceive, but on actually how they test them to find out, right?
Yeah, what this people is what do, not what people say.
What people do versus what people say.
Yeah, because what people say they want in a user interface and what they actually use in that user interface are two very different things.
Right.
Or can be.
So that's techno speak for people don't know. People don't know until you test it. Right? So, back to our point. When we read these stories in Scripture, it's really important to understand that all of us are coming from a perspective. And all of us have already been taught a perspective, whether we're aware of it or not. And so, I have come to realize that I don't think that Scripture was ever meant to teach us how to behave. Can I hear a yay from kids? Yeah! Scripture was never meant to tell us how to behave. It was also never meant to document the failures of humanity and the goodness of God. Never. It was meant to awaken us to our true selves. And if we use it as a reason to point out the failures of others and the goodness of God, what happens is we dishonor the life of every single person who lived that life. And we dishonor their journey, and we dishonor ourselves. So our number one purpose in any biblical story, and so this is why you kids are here hearing all this, our number one purpose in any biblical story is not to assess that person's behavior so that we can learn a lesson. Never is it to read a story, assess someone's behavior so that we can learn a lesson. The point is to understand the heart of the relationship between humanity and God and humanity. It is never to improve our behavior. It is to improve our understanding of the relationship that we have with God. And if we read these stories about John the Baptist or Abraham or anybody else, and we assess their behavior so that we can learn a lesson, what are we now caught in? Yeah. Judgment, comparison, behavior. And the whole point of it is moot. The whole intention. And so that means there's a whole nother way to look at these stories. There's a whole nother way to look at these stories. And so that I'm going to share just a little tiny bit about my interaction with John the Baptist, and then I'm going to release some of you kids to go to your lesson, which is, I heard, how many of you guys have heard in the story of John the Baptist that that in the end, it says, I believe the account is in, John the Baptist is commented about in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all four Gospels. And in one of the accounts, I think it is in John, because John tends to talk about him the most. Okay, he sends at the end of his life, when he is about to die. Then the disciples report to John all the things that Jesus has done. And John, calling two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus saying, "Are you the one that has been promised to come, or are you another?" So remember,
are these John, Jesus' disciples?
No, these are John's disciples. Thank you. So, it's a genius. So these are John's disciples. John had a whole following of people who helped him, who loved his teachings, who believed in what he taught. And John is about to die. He sends several of his disciples to go to Jesus and ask him this question, "Are you truly the Son of God?" And Jesus answers them. Oh, and so when they had come to him, they said, "John the Baptist has sent us to you. Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" And that very hour, he cured, Jesus did, many infirmities, afflictions, evil spirits, and to many of the blind he gave sight. And Jesus said to them, "Go and tell John the things you have seen and heard. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel, the good news preached to them. Blessed is he who is not offended because of me." And so the messenger of John departed, and they went back to John and told him everything that they had seen. So, how many of you have heard a message spoken that this gives us an example of what not to do? That John has basically doubted who Jesus is at the end of his life, and he did not, and I'll use a quote, end well. His story did not end well. Has anybody heard that preached to them? That this is kind of an example of Jesus rebuking John and going, I wish you had really held through to the end, because, you know, blessed are those who believe who are not offended, and I wish you, you know, kind of could have grasped that fully. Anybody ever been taught that? So 2 years ago, I heard that message by two people that I love and adore and honor in the faith twice in 1 week. Heard two people preach that message, that John the Baptist did not end well. And I'm in my office, and I am hearing this message, and I have to tell you, I started to cry. Because two people that I love and honor are saying that John didn't get it. He didn't really ever figure it out. He didn't know who he was, and this is an example and a reason that will motivate us to not end the same way that John the Baptist ended. And you know what I did? You were in the house when this happened. I started to cry. And I started to cry from a place that I didn't even know that I could cry from, and I was so mad. I was so mad. And I went out to the office to Greg, who was home. And I'm like, I'm so mad. And I could barely talk. You remember this? And he's like, are you mad at me?
Yeah, that's the question.
Right? And I was so upset. I'm mad at these messages about John the Baptist, and I don't even know why. So picture if you could, kids, picture if you can, a teacher or a coach who so believes in you, and they say, you know what, I believe in you, I think you have what it takes, I think that you are right on. And then somebody else comes and says, you know what, I think they didn't actually get it, I think they were wrong, I think they didn't, you know, they didn't have the right assessment. I'm so mad. So I go in my house and I'm like, I don't even know why I'm mad. What do I care about John the Baptist? What do I care about these people's messages? Why do I care? And I sat on my living room floor and I said, okay, Lord, help me understand what I'm so mad about. And he goes, you're mad because John the Baptist got it. He was the first one who lived in the time of Christ who knew who he was, who saw and perceived who Jesus Christ was. Do you know what it must have been like in the spiritual realm to have one human realize that God had, that a human had got it, that we were made magnificent and Jesus had come to show us who we truly are? Can you imagine what that meant in the spiritual realm? In fact, John the Baptist did this really cool thing. He kept preaching this one word, and it was what? Does anyone know? What did he say? Repent. He said, repent. And so would you put repentance up here? He preached repentance. Repent. Because the kingdom of God is what?
Near.
Near or at hand. That's what that passage says. And repent is now one of my favorite words. It used to be not one of my favorite words, because repent was like just being what, like what's the traditional understanding? I mean, this is again, now we're back to perspective, right? We're interpreting scripture based on a perspective, and our perspective changes based on the information that we have. So I was raised that repentance meant saying you're sorry for what you did. Anyone else have another understanding of what repentance meant?
Turn 180.
I still remember the message where I saw that. Turn this way, and then you turn back to God. Right? Change your mind. But the word for repentance, and I know many of you know this, in fact, it was so cool. Micah, who's going to preach for us next week, spoke on this a little bit this last week at my tribe, which was so fun. He's like, who knows what repentance act the word is? And I'm like, oh, I know. I felt like I had like won the golden ticket. Seriously, Charlie, Chocolate Factory. And some of you know what it is, or word for repentance is what? Metanoia. So Meta, M-E-T-A. N-O-I-A. Meta meaning higher and many. So you can just put higher and many. And to think or know. So I grew up with the perspective that John the Baptist came to share a message that we should all be sorry for what we've done. That's the lens that I was looking through. Later on, I discovered that that lens wasn't really accurate to the word, that the word repent actually is metanoia, which means to think higher with the higher beings, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Think higher. So what John the Baptist actually came to do was to say, think higher with God. Because the kingdom of God is at hand, right? Think higher with God. So he was going, I want to introduce you to this Jesus guy. And in order for you to see who he is, I need you to think higher with God. Because the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is what? Kingdom of God is the simplest explanation I currently have, the lens that I currently have, is the kingdom of God is the rule and reign of heaven on earth. Is that, can we work with that? Anyone have a better one? I'm open to suggestions. The rule and reign of heaven on earth. So think higher with God, because the rule and reign of heaven on earth, and that word for at hand or is near, do you know that always makes it sound like it's kind of like almost here, right? Do you know that's not what that word means? It means actively present. Think higher with God, because the goodness of heaven is actively present. You have to think differently about yourself. When you think higher with God, because the goodness of heaven is actively present in this moment. That's the message John came to share. Yay! So good! Okay, do kiddos want to stay and hang and draw and whatever, or do they want to head out with Miss Jocelyn? I'm just giving an option here. Where are we at? Abraham really loves his class, I'll just have to tell you. He super, super loves it. He's voting to head out. You guys want to head out to your class with Miss Jocelyn? Okay, yes. All right. Fly be free. Everyone left who's under 9. So I'm going to have you take that off. It's so good.
So many colors I use.
I know, I'm so impressed with you. He's like changing.
I'm gonna let that go to my head though.
So I'm crying in my living room because I've now heard two messages by people, do you know what people I respect and honor, who are saying that John the Baptist didn't end well, that he didn't get it. And there's a lesson that we can learn from his mistake. And I go, that is the lens that skews scripture. That idea that we're supposed to learn from other people's mistakes in scripture, I don't believe is actually biblical. We're not supposed to learn from other people's mistakes in scripture. That's not the point. Because then we're right back to behavior. And everything with God is based on behavior, right? These stories are to reveal who God is and who we are. So simple, right? So simple, like you could walk right past it going, oh, I need to have a behavioral lesson. Well, how good have we done on those behavior lessons, by the way? As a civilization, right? How have we done, has that worked for us, these behavioral lessons? I don't think so. So, I'm crying and I don't even know why I'm crying. And honestly, like, I know this happens sometimes to women, but you know, like, I mean, it was a big deal. Yeah, you're trying.
I was just relieved it wasn't about me.
Right?
Was it about writing down mileage?
Yeah, something, yeah.
Writing down mileage. Oh, yeah. Right? I love you so much. So, okay, sidetracked. I'm asking the Lord, and he says, what you are grieving is that the friend of God, the friend of Jesus, who introduced the bride to the bridegroom, John the Baptist did that. He opened the way in the Spirit, because what he was preaching wasn't an instruction. He actually did it. He metanoid all of humanity. He said, think higher with God. He was proclaiming a reality that was being released. One human's agreement with God released our ability to perceive our true relationship with God. Not that we needed to be rescued, but that we were already one with him. And to awaken us to the grand love affair that he has with us, and that we are a part of him and he is a part of us, and that is inseparable. He didn't come to reconcile us to him. He came to awaken us to the reconciliation that already existed. And John the Baptist did that, and what I was hearing was the church that I love saying that once he did that and knew that, that he didn't end well. Right. And I went, I must be reading this differently than you're reading this, because I know that disciples of anyone followed someone until they died, and when that person died, they sometimes got scattered. Or they would then go to another teacher. And often, when a teacher had a group of disciples, they would often, at the end of their life, transfer them to someone else. And so John the Baptist, I believe, this is my perspective, this is my lens, I'll be right up front with you, this is my lens, sent his disciples to Jesus to see for themselves with the question, are you the one? So that they would have that answer, not because he needed that answer. And Jesus, instead of sending an answer, did what? He showed them. And then he blessed John. Blessed him. He didn't correct him. He didn't admonish him. He blessed him. Listen to this, because, you know, we know how he corrects people. He says, whoa, let me correct you on something. And when he blesses you, he says, blessed. Happy are you who are not offended, meaning you have not taken up resistance to who I am. In fact, going back down to it, he goes, I totally like went to the wrong page. Where am I at? Here, my spot was here. How do you do that? It's like a special thing you do. I can just picture what was happening in the weight of the atmosphere as John's message comes to Jesus. When he says, are you the one? He's not asking him a question he doesn't know the answer to. He is opening up the space, the pregnant space of all of humanity, to know who Jesus is, and thus for us to know who we are. And so in John, I have all the accounts. I know John, but I'm John 7. His disciples, verse 20, say, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? And that very hour, in the presence of that pregnant question, Jesus shows them who he is, and thus shows him who we are, right? And he says, go and tell him what you've seen. Because that's the best encouragement that John the Baptist could have received. And when the messengers of John had parted, he began to speak to the multitudes concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? Did you go to see a reed shaken by the wind? What did you go to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who are gorgeously apparelled and live in luxury are in king's courts. So you have the King of Kings saying, did you go to see someone who in this realm showed this? Or did you go out to see a prophet? Yes, I say you did, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. And in the spirit, John the Baptist introduced all of humanity to who Jesus is. And he says, for I say to you, Jesus says this, among those who are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he who is the least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. So he's going, I have come actively present to release what? The rule and reign of goodness, the rule and reign of heaven. The kingdom of God is what? The rule and reign of heaven. So he's going, John the Baptist is the greatest of all prophets born on this earth, but even he is the least to those who will enter into the rule and reign of heaven that I have come to release. So let's do that phrase. Think higher with God. Watching, right? No, it's not. He used to like scribble in such a way that nobody could read. And look, this is really beautiful writing. I mean, it's impressive. Think higher with God. Because the rule and reign. Think about the rule and reign of heaven, not just being actively present in your life. Think of the rule and reign of heaven being released through your life. Think of the rule and reign of goodness being released through your thoughts, through your words, through your actions. You are the very outpouring of the goodness of heaven on earth. And it is our agreement with heaven that causes the earth to be released into its true natural state. You know, its true natural state is not a fallen state. Its true natural state is an unfallen state. It's almost like if you could picture, anybody have a rubber band? Probably not, but if you can, really seriously, oh no, almost. If you can picture a rubber band being stretched and the tension that that holds, right? That is the state that our world is in. It is out of shape. It has tension. You can feel, cool, thank you. You can feel the tension in it. That's what our world is currently in. The state of sin is that our world and everything in it has a tension in it. It is out of its natural shape. So we're not trying to change something into something it's never been. We are simply releasing it into its natural state of non-tension. That's why peace is one of the greatest forces on earth. And John came saying, this, which is happening to our world and to us, we now, through the ability to think higher with God, not to say we're sorry. Do you see how this has gotten totally shifted? How religion has gotten a hold of the good news and turned it into a set of behaviors This isn't, repentance is not about, in fact, Jerome, who was, you can look him up, was one of the first scholars to say this word, repentance, this English word for metanoia is not an accurate description. It means repentance, it means repay. That is not what metanoia means. Metanoia does not mean to say you're sorry for something. And in fact, I don't know if you know this, but in the Jewish culture, there was no reason to continue to be sorry for what you did because we already had the sacrificial system. Is that me or you?
It's you.
Oh, it's totally me. Sorry.
It's totally you.
Sorry. Okay. See what I can do now. There was no need to be sorry because we already had a system in place to take care of it. Right? There was a system in place for all of sin. So there was no need to readdress it. So why would people be enthralled with you needing to be re-sorry for the things that have already been taken care of in the sacrificial system in the Jewish community? Right? It was a totally unnecessary. It's like, breathe air. Okay, I'm kind of already doing that. No, breathe air. Okay, I'll become more mindful of that. See, repentance would be a completely unnecessary message because it would be re-dealing with something that's already being done. Metanoia, think higher with God because the rule and reign of heaven is here, is, and I'm going to put actively present.
I knew you wouldn't like my hair now.
Did you? Sorry.
Well,
it's super good.
Yeah.
It's super good. But I'm just going to, why use two smaller words when you need to use two bigger words? So that, doesn't that change like all the scripture for you? Like, and so when Jesus came, the first words out of his mouth were what? As far as we don't really actually know, to be honest with you. We don't know. We know what somebody wrote and said. I got you almost thought I knew. I don't know. But the first words recorded were, repent. Metanoia, actually. Think higher with God. Because the rule and reign of heaven is actively present in me. Ooh. So I sat on my floor and I cried because the church, the bride of Christ, had said to the friend of the groom, you kind of didn't do so great a job, and I'm sorry that you didn't end well, and you lost your faith in the end. And I cried because I grew up in that critical assessing perspective that scrutinizes every character of scripture. And I agreed with all of it because I didn't know any better. And then I met the God who isn't so concerned about what we do, but is passionate about who we are and awakening us to our true selves so that we no longer are slaves to what we thought we had to do to cope with a perspective that was demolishing us and crushing us.
That's
good. And so I actually sat in my living room and I said, what do I do? Because my heart feels broken to be part of a bride that has rejected the friend of the groom who introduced me in the first place. And I felt like the Lord invited me and he said, well, why don't you just tell him you're sorry? Not repentance. You can just tell John the Baptist, you're sorry that you misunderstood him and didn't know. And thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And so I did. Weird, I know. I just did. I said, thank you. Thank you for knowing who we are. Thank you for awakening us. Thank you for doing this thing called baptism, which was a washing, I think, that actually allowed people to think a higher thought with God.
Yeah.
It somehow washed away an unclarity of thinking. And then Christ came and he says, when the one comes to follow me, he will baptize you in the Spirit And it is the Spirit's job to always make us able to think higher with God. And so that's what Jesus came to release us into our, not because the Holy Spirit wasn't with us, because by the way, the Holy Spirit's been all throughout all of Scripture with us and for us. And he's been all throughout humanity, but we haven't been awakened to the Holy Spirit's presence. And so Christ came to awaken us to the Holy Spirit's presence with us and in us, so that we could think higher and we could release heaven, which is actively present. Because by the way, this little illustration of the whole world being like a stretched, you know, rubber band, is the rubber band any different when it's stretched? Is it not a rubber band? It doesn't change its very identity, right? One is just a state of tension, the other is a state of lack of tension. And that's what I think that we are meant to be. Those who release that which is pulled out of its shape and release it into its proper shape. We're not changing something from one form into another form. We're just releasing it from the tension that's pulling it out of shape. So doesn't that seem so much more accessible? Doesn't that seem thin? And so we tried it out. We just started agreeing and thinking higher with God and finding ways to just listen to him better, hear him more clearly, agree with him, and then we just would watch cool, miraculous things happen. And Greg would start making proclamations, which we didn't bring, but maybe we'll bring those next week. You want to share, just take a moment, and then we're going to let the kids come back in, because I went kind of long with the kids, about what, kind of like, how you started engaging.
Well, the proclamations were just a way for me to start agreeing with God, is really what it was. And so I would write down these things that I wanted to agree with God about my family and my kids and my wife and my life. And then I would speak those out loud to myself. I think there's a lot of power in the spoken word, not just in reading them or thinking them in your head, but actually verbalizing those things. And so that's what I would did, what I would do. And, you know, a couple of things kind of happened in that. One was that I started to see things change with those things that I was proclaiming about. And so that was pretty cool. And the other thing that would happen is, after I would examine this or, you know, be proclaiming these things, I would come back around and realize that what I started off with could be improved upon, could be a closer agreement to God. And that was pretty interesting to, you know, you kind of start off in one place, and which is good. Wherever you start, I mean, it's good on that. But as you keep thinking about these things, and God starts speaking to you about
what's
more in alignment, what's more in agreement with him. So, yeah.
So, can you think of off the top of your head an example of that? I know that you actually have your copies of your, this is where he started. And then he went to the next set of agreements, and Greg would actually speak those out loud every day.
I don't have that.
You don't have it?
I don't
just changed them? That's shocking.
I didn't keep all those changes.
And then he changed, and then he would change. And the really cool thing was, is he goes, I don't know what to do anymore, because all of them are actually actively present in our lives. Things that seemed impossible. Things that seemed... That's a pipe dream. That'll never happen in our marriage. That'll never happen in our home. And then he goes, I don't know what to do. I got to like upgrade my proclamations, because they're all happening.
Yeah, one example, when Abraham was younger, he whined all the time. His voice was just whining.
And we're not kidding.
Drove me crazy. I hated it. I started off with Abraham's not a whiner, or Abraham doesn't whine as a proclamation, right?
That was as high as he could think.
That was as high as I could go right there, I guess. But later on, I know it morphed into something like, Abraham's voice is clear and filled with joy, is where that ended up. And it became so.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's interesting, we've watched, you know, as you go through these cycles of being who God says that you are, you may have it kind of pressed back in at you, you know, at a certain point in time. So you come into a victory, you've come into an unstretched state, you know, and then all of a sudden you find yourself being stretched back out again. And you're like, okay, what's that all about? And sometimes it can make you feel really defeated. And I know that the lens that I used to look at, or the teaching that I used to have, was that I had lost my healing, or I had lost my victory, or I had been unfaithful, opened a door to evil, you know, like, right? You know, all of that. And so I'm going to just say, I think that there's a better perspective. There's a better perspective than that. And that is that there's two kinds of victories that we experience. And I'm going to end with this. There's two kinds of victories that we experience. One is a deliverance. One is you have something difficult happening in your life and you are delivered of it and it just goes without much effort on your part. It goes, right? That's you're delivered from something negative.
Those are my favorite kind.
Gosh, right? And then there is the kind where you find yourself struggling in this. Day in, day out, there's a little bit of this happening, right? You have a victory, you have a frustration, you have a victory, you have a frustration. I believe that that's when the Lord wants to do something with us, and that is, he wants to teach us how to rule and reign. So I'm going to have you put that, to rule and reign. Because it is one thing when the pressure is just removed out of your life. When the pressure is just removed out of your life, hallelujah, it happened, that's awesome, yay. But when God's teaching you how to rule and reign, that means that the pressure is present, and you're now learning how to make that pressure bow to your thoughts with God. You are learning how to make that pressure bow and everything confess to Jesus Christ, who is Lord, with you and in your life. And so that ruling and reigning process can be longer because you're learning how to become no longer pressured by the thing that presses you. And so it's no longer a failure, it is every opportunity to learn. And just like we don't get upset with kids who don't tie their shoes the first time or the 20th time or the 50th time or sometimes the 500th time, God is not impatient with us. And he doesn't pull the rug out from underneath of us every time we didn't tie the shoelace right. He goes, okay, so what did we learn? 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 Until what you have learned is so massive with God that no longer can anything else stand against you. So don't let those failures, quote unquote, knock you over, because they were meant to be your teachers, to teach you each time, what did you learn? What did you learn? What did you learn? So that you can have a higher thought with God than that place. And it becomes what I believe is called an uncontended space. You win a territory and it becomes uncontended. And so we are learning how to, I'm sorry, I'm getting all excited about what the kids are coming back in, right? Did we send someone?
No.
Okay. Can you go take it? Oh, sweet, Julie's gonna go. What we're learning how to do, and this is what gets me so excited, is we're learning how to have dominion over our own internal space, right? Our own emotional and thought life. We're learning how to have dominion over that space. And as we learn how to have dominion with pressure over our own internal space, we then get to allow a time to practice. The Lord gives us, he goes, now it's time to expand. Where you've got your internal space and pressure doesn't push on you. And now you can have your internal space exert pressure on external space. But most people want to jump to proclaiming over external space before they've learned how to manage their internal space. And the thing is that our internal space is where all the magic happens, because that's where our relationship with God is. That internal space is our partnership, our dialogue, our communication. That's where we laugh and have joy with the Holy Spirit. That's where we have the intimacy. And it's out of that place of agreement and intimacy that everything else flows. That's putting it upright. That's the earth has been, I think, upside down, and it's putting it upright. That the rule and reign of heaven in us pushes every negative thing down under our feet. Comes with our own internal space, our own internal agreements with God, and then that starts to pour out into bigger spaces. Is the space that I have here strong enough to withstand this, 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 and this, right? And the Lord is building that. He's building my thoughts higher with God to have the rule and reign of heaven become actively present. And so I started to learn how to build that, and many of you have already spent years in process of learning and building. It's so right. It's so fun. It's so fun. It's so good. And it's the life. That's the life where I go, oh, that was the yoke is easy and the burden is light. Because we're not now trying to change behavior. We're just awakening to whole new ways of thinking. Awakening to new ways of thinking that release the rule and reign of heaven in me, through us. And that's kind of why we're all here, is to just host that space. To host the space where our thoughts are easier with God. Because in the place of our mutual agreement regarding the magnificence of humanity, we can think more clearly. Yay! Okay, kids are coming back in. I'd like to take a moment, and I know we're at 5:20. We usually end at 5:30, and we normally do a practice, but I'd like for you to pull out a card. And write down your one big aha. One big aha from the Lord. This is my big, Lord, this is what you highlighted to me. Doesn't have to be something new that you never knew before. It's your aha with the Lord.
So it doesn't have to have happened in the last half hour?
Yes, it happened tonight in this space.
Okay.
It's not all of life.
Try and clarify.
That's a good question.
Just for tonight, though.
Not over our whole lifetime.
It's not a test. We're not going to compare these.
Okay. So we're going to do something different, okay? Like, we keep trying new and fun and different things. So I would like to have somebody who would love to volunteer to be encouraged in the Lord. Is there anyone who would like to? This is where people are going to give you encouraging words. So would anyone like to volunteer for that? Heather would like to volunteer for that? Okay. And would anyone else, one other person, like to volunteer for that? Taylor, all right, come on up. We're going to try something different. I have no idea how this is going to go. So if it doesn't super encourage you, we'll try something else. But we're going to try it. If you guys would sit. What I would love for us to do is to bless you with what our big aha was, okay? And see if the Lord would like to minister to you, is a word of encouragement to you, that these are yours, okay?
Good, because I didn't get one.
You didn't get one. So, okay, so we're going to just see how this goes. This was the idea that I had. I thought with the Holy Spirit while I was typing, so we'll see how it pans out. So what I'd love for you to do is just share your, it should be like a sentence or two of your big thing.
And you'll preface it by saying, I think the Lord might want to encourage you that you have or you are, and then read your thing that was the aha. Got it? Yeah, who wants to try first? Jocelyn. You have aha children, I love that.
So I feel like the Lord wants to encourage you by saying not to focus on what you've done wrong, but to change your mindset to think like him.
Yay! So good. Okay, anyone else? Up there? Yep. Okay, Elizabeth.
I feel like how God can encourage you guys is that, like, you might have a lot of questions for God, because sometimes God can be very questioning, like me, because sometimes I question God, and I question a lot of people, like a detailed person, like I want to know more information. So he can answer that, and like the testimonies that you've had or experienced or just the things that you go on through life.
Yay, thank you.
I think the Lord might want to encourage you to make verbal proclamations because it will change the world.
I think the Lord may be encouraging you to metanoia because it releases the tension of trying to do and just be. You're not a human doing, but a human being.
Yay! So good. I don't know what's working.
No idea.
Anyone else? Yeah, David? Hang on.
I believe God, and I know in great part that at least Heather, like, I know that she's learning this thinking higher with God, and she's applying it daily.
Yes.
But for both of you, just the parallel to the human brain, like, which is the reptile brain, limbic system, and the neocortex, you're no longer living in enslaved to religion, which would keep you in the fight or flight mode, or keep you coming back every day or every week to have to confess again and beat yourself up. And like your minds are being renewed and thinking higher with him. In that neocortex where creativity is birthed, where things flow without tension. And being transformed by the renewing of your mind, which is just thinking higher with God, reminding us who we are. I know that's what you're doing now, and I could probably say the same thing about Taylor. Bless you.
Absolutely. Yay. Yay. Anyone else? Okay.
I think this could encourage you, encourages me, but it's thinking, it's not, I'm sorry for this, but it's tell me how you see this.
Yes.
So you're not saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, but like it's more of a conversation than like, apology.
Yes. Okay,
I'm not sure how to say this because I felt that, Angela, when you were sharing about your reaction, when you heard what was said about John the Baptist, that you were experiencing God's heart, God's reaction to that very thing. And so I want to encourage you that sometimes when you have a reaction or you feel something deeply, that you may very well be experiencing how God
That's good.
I wrote that I loved how you saw who John the Baptist was, so I would say to both of you ladies that I just believe that you're going to see who people really are and not be looking at their behavior, but seeing their true identity.
Through this whole thing, I was trying to put repentance and think higher with God together? Like, how did someone get repentance from that? And it somehow, I don't know, God obviously made me think this. I just thought, instead of asking for forgiveness, because then we feel bad and we try to change our behavior, and then we don't, and then we're still feeling bad. And so it was similar, it's kind of much both of you guys. I said, think higher with God through proclamation. So when we have, you know, maybe been out of God's will, then instead of repenting, just what is his will and proclaim that over our life. And that is a really awesome way to think higher with God.
Take this however encouraging you want it to be. I don't know that I can say I want this to encourage you, but it encouraged me a lot, so hopefully it'll get to you as well. But what's really struck me is when the rubber band is being stretched, I got a picture of that with us. When we're being stretched, when we're under a lot of stress, we're under a lot of tension in life, in our relationships, in whatever situation we're in, when we're being stretched, our natural response is to snap back. When we're in complete agreement with God, when we are at peace, in agreement with the Holy Spirit, when the state of being is relaxed, and our response can be given in love and not in a snappy way.
That's good.
There's a point in the Bible when John says, whose disciples I must decrease so that he must increase. I feel that the Lord is saying to you all that you will decrease on what the world has spoken over you. As you become higher in God and receive the present of what he says to walk into your future, of the increasing of who you are in heaven. So anything that hasn't been of him, increase everything in him, because he made us in his image.
Okay. I have one more thing to add. When you apologize, that's something that once you apologize, it's like you don't do it again. And so when you make that mistake, you won't do it again, kind of. But what you said about like how when God is very patient with you guys, with the mistakes that you've made, that he is saying, now what have you learned from that? So when you're saying you're sorry, you're telling yourself, what have I learned from the mistake that I made? So.
One quick thing that I so wanted to share and didn't share, and I just feel encouraged that it's okay, is that think about if we had repentance, what is the initiating action on repentance? Us, right? The initiating action on the actual definition of the word repentance is us. But the initiating action on metanoia is what? Oops. What's the initiating action on metanoia? Is it possible to think higher with God without God? No. Is it possible to be sorry for what we did without God? Yes. So doesn't being sorry hasn't gotten any of us anywhere. Right? I'm not saying being sorry isn't a good thing. Sure, we can be sorry, but it doesn't transform us. It doesn't transform us. It is not the transformed life of Christ. And what is inherent in metanoia is the initiating action of God. It is essential that God, that he be a part of the process, because we can't think higher with God without God. So it requires his input. And I love that you ask lots of questions, because metanoia means asking questions. Because how can you think higher with God unless you're giving up what you already think about something? You're asking a question, how do you see this? How do you see this? How do you see this? Isn't that so fun? It just shifts.
sink into this great conversation and communication. So, yay! Okay, now I want to ask you guys, did anything that anyone shared jump out to you in any kind of a way that meant something to you? And it's okay if it didn't, but if it did, Juan, I let you go first, Heather, and then Taylor, you can share.
Yeah, what Dan said, for sure. I mean, I'm a visual learner, and so that just made so much sense, and I know that when something happens and I feel that tension, I can get that picture. And what you said just is that little reminder of, okay, how can I, when I feel that, how can I agree with God to put it back into a place of peace? So, yeah, that really jumped out. Thank you for sharing.
I thought what everyone shared was so amazing. Sorry. Yeah. Taylor, did you want to share?
Well, I didn't have, like, a specific one, but, like, almost everything that everyone said I could relate something to within my life, so it all meant a lot to me.
I am so grateful that we get to be in a space like this, perceiving this about each other, right? Recognizing like who we really are. And so I just want to encourage you, we're going to have our visiting time. I think we have some food, right? Correct?
We do.
Jules brought sweet. And do we have anything else? Or we have a tall bunch of...
It's like some crazy cheesecake thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Coffee cake. Cheesecake, coffee cake.
Whatever. So we're going to release for that. But I want to encourage you that if you have a specific issue, or not even a specific issue, but you want to continue to be encouraged and have the Lord speak into your very week, just this week, please grab either a picture or a card in the back and ring it up. And then who is interested in giving words? Anyone raise your hand if you're interested in practicing listening to the Lord. Miss Jocelyn is. Taylor is awesome. I got to be a part of her first hearing of like 6 months ago.
She's genius.
Dan is interested. I am interested. Anyone else who's interested in giving, and Miss Julie is. So please make sure you take advantage of that. And then I'd love for us to bless our offering, and I will do our proclamation at the end. So if you'll bless the offering, I will do our offering.
Yeah. So we have an offering box in the back, and we also have online giving if you go to Desert Outpouring.
Which people are now taking advantage of. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yep.
So we're very grateful for that.
Makes such a huge difference.
Yeah, and so I just...
You want to bless it?
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks for the gifts that were given, and they represent people's time and effort and energy.
And gifts and talent.
Yep, all that. And give that to the Lord to use in His way. Amen.
So good. So may you go out this week with the partnership of the Holy Spirit, now aware of the process that's been happening all of your life, which is the Holy Spirit so actively joyful in helping you think higher with God, and releasing the goodness of heaven in every circumstance on earth. May you find joy in every new thought you have with God. And Lord, I just have to say thank you so much that we are not the ones. We're not the initiators of renewing our mind. You are. You renew our mind, and then we become transformed. Thank you so much for awakening us to the fact that we don't have to become transformed in order to have a renewed mind. Gosh, that would just, well, that's been most of my life, and that really stunk. So may you be the salt and light and peace and joy and goodness with every person you meet this way. May you be the higher perspective that others don't yet have. May you be the goodness of God in every room that you walk into. Good night.